Welcome, Spartans, to Podcast Evolved, your favorite Halo podcast. I'm your host, Colin, and with me today is Aaron. That's weird.
I know.
How am I with you? Shouldn't you be with... Wait, what?
I know, it's very strange. I think this is our first Halo date, is it?
I think it might be. I think it's the first time I've been on Podcast Evolved.
Is this the first time you've been on this show?
It is. The proper show.
Congratulations, I got you first. Happy day. Suck at the rest of you.
The mothership, finally. It's been years. Been working towards this moment. And somehow, you've made me host.
I know. Well, someone has to hear you talk, otherwise it's just me waffling the entire time.
Before we get into the rest of the show, we want to check in with our... We want to tell you to check in on our awesome website. So go to Halo Podcast Evolved. And also check out our Patreon page. We have a bunch of people that love us so much that they drop us some support with, you know, a dollar bill or two or three, and we couldn't do this show without you. And we have some some great Patreon rewards and things like that, so go check that out if you can. We'll go through the list real quick. All these great people. So we have Alex, Colin, that's not me, that's the other I think it's like the other cool Colin or something like that, not as cool Colin on Discord. DeSudo, Edgar, Evan, Gonk, Lance, Matt, Matthew number two, but he's really number one in our hearts, Mohammed, Noah, Philip, Ryan, Rye, Spencer, and Zach. Thank you all.
Yes, thank you everyone, because like I say every week, I'm still surprised that people give us money to do this shit, so it's awesome.
Absolutely, yeah, it's been great. Our community is fantastic. It's been fun being a part of this thing, and buckle up, because this is going to be a fun episode. So let's do some Halo. What are you up to in Halo? I think you should go first, and then I'll go. I've been doing lots of stuff in Halo.
Oh, well, I'm glad one of us has. So I've done a little bit. I suppose, well, it's been almost a month. When I went to do the script for this week's episode, I found out the last proper episode before interviews and book clubs was September 11th.
Yeah.
It's just been all other episodes since then. So I finished listening to Halo Oblivion.
Oh, okay. Tell me more.
It's different to Silent Storm. It wasn't what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Without going into spoilers, it's cool.
Okay.
I did quite enjoy it. It's all... considering the first book was so focused on space battles and Covenant and all the rest of it, mm-hmm. to land a book two and it takes place almost entirely on one planet, in one location, mm-hmm. fighting... enemies you don't expect with allies you don't expect, which is interesting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And this takes place right after Silent Storm, right?
I think it's about 3 months after the first book. They've basically had enough time to like recharge and they're back out on another mission again.
Gotcha. So,
and they reference all the events of Silent Storm and things like that. But it's interesting. It's not a spoiler, I don't think, to say that when the book starts off, they reference how... They have to make do with marine support because they obliterated so much of their like specialist ODST support first book that they're now down to regular marines.
That's interesting. I mean, that's cool that carries through. Yeah, I mean, it's the same author, so.
Never good in the Halo universe once you're relying on the regular marines.
Right.
Your life expectancy goes down dramatically.
Those are the marines that Krista likes to kill, just the regular ones.
Yeah, I try to save them, but like it just doesn't happen.
It's very hard. I bought Oblivion. I've listened to a smidge of it, but I just haven't been in the right mindset to focus on it yet. So my commute is short. So my commute is like 20 minutes, if that. And so but my mind will be wandering, and I was like, okay, I can't do it right now. But yeah. I'm excited to dive in eventually. And you listen to it at work.
I usually listen to it either while I'm at work, I can listen sometimes, or on the same as you, on the drive, like to and from. So I'll have to give it a second listen to really let it all soak in. That's the only downside to the audiobook version, is you get distracted and then you find yourself going back and listening to things again. But I did pick up the hard copy version, so I'm very happy with that.
Nice. It's big.
It is. I don't own too many Halo hardbacks. Most of the ones I have are paperback, except for like the Forerunner trilogy and then the big books that they do. So it's nice. I enjoy that. Also, the cover, there's something about the artwork is just beautiful for that book.
Yeah, it's like golden orange. It's great.
That actually does have a genuine link to what happens in the book.
Oh, interesting.
It's very specifically that way for a reason.
I like that. Very nice. What else have you been up to?
The only other Halo-related thing I've done, and this is a stretch, is I played Horde mode in Gears 5 as Jack with the Halo Reach skin equipped. That's about as close to Halo as I can get at the minute.
Wait, so you played as the robot?
You can play as the robot, and he has a skin for the Reach pack that came with...
What's the skin? Like, what does it look like?
He's just kind of... He's like a holographic blue, I think.
Oh, okay.
They kind of did him to look sort of like an AI, except he's definitely bigger than any AI I've ever seen float about the place. But I like playing as Jack. It's kind of a handy way to like get your head around what you're doing in the Horde mode.
Yeah.
Because he can't build anything. He can repair stuff. He can zap enemies. He has like a taser. And then he can carry equipment back to people. So you just spend your time like flying around the map, reviving people as they're downed, and then trying to electrocute enemies to help them out.
That's cool. That's the support character, so that'd be cool.
Yeah, he is sort of a support because they have like the engineer class where you can run around and shoot, build stuff and repair things, which is what I seem to be playing. That's what Kat is, but I don't like Kat's ability. She has like the Reach hologram distraction thing.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a big fan of that. I never really liked it in Reach, never mind. Or was that Halo 4?
It's Halo 4. I forget if it was in Reach.
I'm saying I can't remember now, but yeah, I remember in Halo 4. I'm not a big fan of that, but Del from the game has an ability that are like two little tracker drones that roll across the ground. And then when they hit an enemy, they kind of pop up like a mine and explode.
Oh,
I prefer those because they'll hover around you and stay close until an enemy gets near, and then they'll save your ass. So they're quite nice.
Are people using Emil a lot?
I've seen quite a few Emils. I've seen quite a few cats as well. There seem to be a lot of people running around. The most I've seen is the Sarah Connor one.
Yeah.
And I'm getting very tired of her because she's very bossy. All of her voice lines are very like, we're going to do this now. I was like,
Like, no.
I was like, I don't want to do that. I want to do my own thing. But that's about all I've been doing. I've been playing away at that. I'm trying to level my characters up. I'm not sure if I like or don't like the system they have. You get cards at the end of the match, and it's one of those ones where you unlock a new ability as you level up, but then to level up that ability, you need, you know, maybe two cards to level it up to level 2, and then you need 4 to get to level 3, and then you need 10 to get to the next one. Yeah. Or you can spend real money credits to do it.
Oh, well, that sounds like a great option.
Yes, so I'm not... It doesn't seem like the most offensive in the world. Like, I managed to get Jack leveled up fairly quickly, but I'm just not entirely sure if I'm sold on it.
The monetization, you mean?
Yeah, I don't know if it leans a little heavy on why don't you spend some money instead of playing a few more games.
Yeah.
Because the other problem is, I think, unless you have a group of people, I find you start a game, you get to about wave 25, and then people start to drop off because they don't have time. The furthest I've got with strangers was wave 32, but it wasn't. Wow. It was maybe only like 3 or 4. They have about 9 difficulty levels to pick from. I got about that high, but I'm going to wait and see. Krista's been playing through all the old Gears at the minute.
She's on 5 now.
We're going to go then and play some Horde, because we did that a couple of times before and had quite a bit of fun.
Nice. Sign me up. I'll join.
Oh, yeah.
If I can.
So, that's all my Halo stuff. Have you done any? You said you've done lots of Halo stuff.
Oh, boy. I'm going to put you to shame.
Okay.
I've done quite well. You know, I'm the host of Mission Debrief, so I'm always playing some sort of Halo. We wrapped up our coverage of Halo 4 Spartan Ops, which Krista adored, so that was fun. Now we're on to Halo 5. What? We're playing Halo 5. It's nuts. Because we started, if you don't listen to Mission Debrief, we've started all the way back at Reach. We're playing in chronological order. And so we played Reach, CE, 2, ODST, then 3, then 4, Spartan Ops. And now we're on 5. It's crazy. So it's been a long haul. But yeah, we've played, we just recorded the first episode. So we recorded Osiris and Blue Team. And then we may actually, so it's Krista, myself, and David, we may be able to actually work it out this weekend to play some together. We haven't played together this entire time. Krista and David have played together a little bit early on, but the three of us actually haven't played Halo together.
We're surprisingly terrible for a Halo podcast of getting to play together. I know it's the same. Like, I don't even remember the last time I played with anyone.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there's time differences and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I got the family stuff, so that's... My gaming time is limited. So in preparation for Halo 5, I rewatched Nightfall.
How did that go?
It went okay. It started stronger than what I remember, but then it did taper off at the end. Just with some of the writing, I guess it would be, where like they're in the infighting that goes on at the tail end about like who's gonna be on the boat or the raft or whatever, like the tub. It just felt really forced, and there's like the one Oni guy that was like the guy you were supposed to hate, and he was like over the top. You're supposed to hate him, and Locke is just he's just so blah.
Yeah, that's the thing I got. Like, for this being Locke's intro, there's so little to him, especially once you come off like Forward Unto Dawn and how much they do with Lasky, and you're like, did the people that made this forget that Locke was supposed to be the reason for this? It's like, because you finish it and you go, okay, this was about Randall.
Yeah, Randall was the star. Like, he was the guy that everybody liked.
And you're going like, okay, so Randall's going to be leader of Team Osiris? Oh, wait, they nuked him.
Right.
I don't know. There was just something about it. I don't know what it is or where they got, like, lost or distracted on it, but it's strange decisions.
Yeah, I mean... We love Master Chief. He's a straight man with little personality. Locke is a straight man with little personality, but we don't have much history with him. Or we didn't at the time. He was brand new. I watched a couple of YouTube personalities in the Halo community, and one of the guys likened him. I don't know if you're a fan of wrestling, but he likened Locke to Roman Reigns. Are you familiar with him at all?
Not overly.
Okay. So Roman Reigns is a character that for the past... I don't know, 4 or 5, maybe longer years that, like, it seems like Vince McMahon has been forcing into, like, title matches, and he, like, really wants to, like, the WWE has tried to make him a star, and everybody, like, almost like another Rock, but the fans felt that, and, like, he didn't earn his stripes or whatever, so they all pushed back, and they started, you know, they would, like, chant, you know, Roman sucks and all this sort of stuff, because it was too forced. And that's kind of how this Locke thing feels. It's just very forced. So yeah, we'll see what happens with Infinite and, you know, where they take him. But the fact that they shoved him so much into the forefront after not really having any threads anywhere other than Halo 2 Anniversary, where they kind of forced him into that as well. I'm sure there might be Locke fans out there, but I think the majority of the community is just kind of like, all right, can we just move on from this situation?
Yeah, and I think like they have such potential with characters. Funny enough, this will lead on to something I'm going to reference later, but like, they had Palmer, and I feel like they kind of squandered a lot of stuff with her, and then they have Locke, who had potential to be a good character, but they kind of squander him as well. I feel like they've tried to replicate the Buck thing a couple of times, and they just never quite managed to land it. There's always something that just goes a little bit awry with the whole thing.
Well, I think, back to my other point, like, Buck wasn't forced. He was just, like, more or less the main character of ODST, and he was likable. And the way that they wrote or have written Locke, he's not likable. And we'll cover that in Mission Debrief and some of, like, his dialogue choices and some of the writing for his character. It's just very, you know, he's just very cardboard. Anyway, so watched Halo Nightfall, also watched Fall of Reach as in preparation for Halo 5, which was the animated version of that. So like, you know, the first, I don't know, third of the book and, you know, or the comic or whatever. But that was good. That was fun to revisit. I thought they did a good job. I like the animation style of that. I also went back and listened to the full Hunt the Truth podcast.
Hunt the Truth is very good.
Which is amazing. Yes, very good. I didn't listen to season 2. I'll probably do that. I do remember that one falling off and not being quite as good as the first one, but they just knocked the first one out of the park. It's so good. Very, very entertaining. Very, like, and mysterious. And I think that it's a piece of marketing, but it is canon, I believe.
Yeah, no, I think it's 100% canon.
And they do a good job of making it this mysterious story, but also onboarding new people that are maybe lapsed Halo fans or new Halo fans, you know, introducing them to what the Spartan 2 program was actually all about. And I think they kind of open some rabbit holes for people to dig in and, you know, get into the lore of Halo. So that was very, very well done. I just reread Halo Initiation for some reason. We'll find out later. What else? I talked about Oblivion. I bought Battleborn. Haven't listened to it. The Meridian Divide, the new one.
Oh, I haven't got that yet. I'm going to have to actually read that as a book because I'm not going back to the audiobooks.
I didn't start it to see if it was the same narrator. So I couldn't tell you. I totally understood your frustrations.
I can't cope with the whispering call.
Yep, indeed.
I think I'm one of those people that can't cope with ASMR because it just rubs me the wrong way.
So then, you know, I've probably mentioned maybe in some of my mission debriefs, but since I haven't been on the show, I've been collecting mega constructs, mega blocks, like that whole toy, all that toy stuff, the like Lego knockoff thing. But they're really good. I was a big Lego kid growing up, and now I have some kids of my own. And the fact that Halo has a line of this stuff, it feels like it's kind of enabled me to get back into it. And they have all these named characters that you can collect, which is fantastic. If you go too far back, and like, you know, some of them can be a little too expensive. But so that's kind of been a challenge to like find all of the named characters. Like I'm looking at my wall here, and I have like all the Halo Wars characters. You know, like. Jerome and what's the other ones here? Alice and what's the other guy? Douglas. Yeah, I got Atriox. I got everybody. So it's pretty cool to go back and collect that. So they have a blind bag series that's out right now. That's the 10th anniversary because it's been 10 years since Mega Blocks. Now Mega Constructs has been doing Halo sets. So they have blind bags that have like a golden Master Chief and a bunch of other, you know, different Spartans and various armor, or they have some of the you know, the Covenant, and there's a Grunt, and there's a nice looking Brute from Halo 3, and there's a really nice Elite in there as well. So grabbed a couple of those, almost convinced myself there's like a new tank that's out right now, and then there's a new buildable Master Chief, and he ends up being almost like he's probably like 10 or 12 inches tall.
Ooh.
And I think it's like 500 or 600 pieces. Like, it's a good set. It's a nice model. And then he has a little Cortana that he put in his hand as well.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, very cool. So I've been getting into that stuff. And we've talked about doing like a toys and collectibles show at some point, because I know Ian is a collector as well, and he plays with his kids. So we may do something like that down the road. So I won't go too off the rails talking about that stuff. But that's been fun to get into for the last – I kind of started at the very beginning of the year. So it's almost been a year since I've been getting after it. Then the other thing, and this just kind of turned out, this is my last thing. I took my 5.5-year-old shopping with me, just, you know, get some stuff for the house, groceries, whatnot. But we went to Target, and I just took a stroll through the Halloween section and the costumes. And I was like, I wonder if they have Master Chief. And sure enough, there was a Master Chief and a Locke. But he's, you know, obviously we've been playing with the Mega Constructs, and I have a couple other things of Halo, you know, displayed around my office and things like that. So he's, you know, he knows what Halo is. He was originally going to be Bumblebee again from last year, but now he's like, he's asked a couple times. Now he wants to be Master Chief for Halloween. So I may have manipulated him into...
You're doing a good job, Colin. I approve of all your life choices.
But I've introduced him to the games itself yet, just because we're not ready to do the whole guns violence thing yet. You know, that we're going to wait a little while longer before we do that stuff. So I don't know. I haven't had the conversation with my wife yet to see if that's going to be an okay thing. Because, I mean, the Master Chief costume is just, you know, the mask and the outfit. There's no gun involved. They are selling like a needler. But I'm not going to go down that route. I'm not going to push it too much. So we'll see what happens. There may be a 5.5-year-old Perkins Master Chief out there on the streets on the 31st. So
I think it's about a good age where they start to pick it up. I think it's the only time. It was the same with my niece and nephew when they were a bit younger. It's the only time I wish that Mega Bloks game had have been real.
Oh,
because like the Lego games, right. That was just the perfect thing to introduce them to. This is Master Chief, and here's some people where they're not really exploding when I hit them with the needler. They just break into Mega Bloks bits, and yep, this would all totally be lovely.
We can all hope.
Yeah, we're at that stage now where I think when I went up the last day, my nephew was showing me the different assassinations in the Master Chief collection and stuff. I was just going like, all right, we've done terrible things here. I've taught you all. This is awful.
Like, watch how I murder this grunt.
Yeah, and he was showing me things. I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was Halo 5 or something. He said, like, oh, look, you can do some of these. And I was going, please never come down to my house to see the backbreaker assassination that I unlocked a while ago. Thanks.
Right.
It's tricky because, like, they'll see you playing it and they see it. And Master Chief, like, he's a cool-looking character, especially if you're a kid. And then you're like, but you can't join me with this because we're not doing the shooting of the aliens quite yet. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, because like I said, mentioned he was Bumblebee last year, and Bumblebee's a robot, and there's violence in Transformers. We haven't, you know, done all that stuff. There's like a kid's version of Transformers, but Master Chief's just a robot. He's just a green robot. That's all he is, right?
Yeah, when you're small, you don't know any different.
Yeah, in their mind. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But all right. So enough about us. Let's talk about all the stuff we've missed over the last month.
Oh God, we've missed a lot.
We've been given content. Like, there was that interview. Was it Falcon's Creative? Is that what it was called?
Yes, we had that interview.
Some book clubs.
Yep, Kristen Oren did that interview. We got a book club out as well. So we've been doing pretty good. Thankfully, we have this second podcast that keeps the feed busy. So it's been nice. It takes a lot of pressure off when you look at it and go, ooh, we did three mission debriefs back to back with nothing in between. But at least we had that.
You're welcome.
It makes things a lot easier. It's kind of a bad time of the year. I've noticed the summertime's a bit of a bad lull for, like, if Outpost Discovery hadn't have been wrapping up, like, there really wouldn't have been much happening at all.
Well, you know, listening to Hunt the Truth again, like, when did that come out before Halo 4? I gotta look that up really quick. Like, we're getting close to a smidge of a hype cycle. Like, next year, it's just, when is it gonna start, right?
I think Hunt the Truth was out, like, oh, I want to say like a January or February before Halo 5. That sort
I
of
think
a time.
So. Yeah, I'll find out really quick here.
I really hope someday they do another audio drama because I really think they're missing a trick. It was good. I don't know how much money they spent on it, but I can't imagine it's that expensive to make an audio drama. It's probably more the time-consuming part of the sound effects and stuff, the Foley work, but I'd really hope they do more.
So there was some marketing March 22nd, 2015.
So
when
March.
They started to do the bullet stuff, that was the bullet stuff. And then there was the, I think there was the blog, remember that?
Oh,
that
yeah.
was kind of all around that time. And then it looks like, June 14th. So it wasn't until E3-ish time is when Hunt the Truth came out. So they did wait until the middle of the summer. Yeah, but there was at least some, a little bit early on in the year, like within the first quarter of the year. So we'll see. We're still a ways out, but, you know, there's a whole TV show, lots of stuff coming out. Wait, hold on. It says Hunt the Truth 1 started March 22nd. Oh, okay. Never mind. It finished on June 14th. So it started March 22nd.
I had that memory in my head of, like, the start of the year. I feel like about 6 or 7 months out was when this started the Halo 5 hype cycle. So I'm hoping they, like, kind of stick to that again, but I don't know what they'll do. Be interesting.
TV show's not supposed to be towards the end of next year, is that right?
I think, I want to say it's coming 2021, I think they said, so it'll be Infinite comes out.
Gotcha.
I think we had that in the news a while ago, but don't hold me to that, but I have a feeling it's later.
Okay.
So we'll not have that before then. All right. We'll roll through this news. I'm going to try and keep it a bit light because we have quite a few cannon fodders and community updates in the backlog here. So we had the last community update that came out since we recorded was Outpost Outro, and that was on the 12th of September. So it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
This is, as the title suggests, it's basically like a rundown of everything from all the Outpost discoveries and that. So there's a thank you from Sketch to all the fans. There's also a thank you from our friend Jeff.
Nice.
Shout outs to Jeff.
I met Sketch when I was at the Chicago Outpost, just briefly. But I introduced myself, shook his hand. Yeah, that was cool.
Look at you meeting all those people in one
building. Yeah.
Something me and David will never manage.
Yeah, one day.
Unless they come to record the TV show here, and then I'm going to stalk them. Because I was like going to do that the last time when they were doing Nightfall, but it felt a bit creepy to stalk Frankie down to a pub in Belfast. But I know where he was.
He'd have been all right with it. Is he Scottish?
He is.
Yeah.
I remember the day I realized that, because I used to watch the old Bungie, like, Vidox back in the day, and I was sitting looking going, why does Frankie have a can of Tennent's on this desk in the background? And then a friend went, oh, he's Scottish. I was like, fuck. And then it suddenly made sense why he did something called the Heart of Midlothian, because that's football team in Scotland.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then it all clicked.
There's lots of references, I think, in the extended universe.
There are quite a few.
Yeah.
Hamish Beamish, I suppose, would be another
right.
one.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
We had a rundown of, there was a Halo 3 competitive competition going on in Atlantic City. So there's a rundown at that from Snickerdoodle. She went out to, I think, is Snickerdoodle a she?
I don't know, it sounds right.
I have a notion in my head that Snickerdoodle is not a he, but I could be wrong. There was a rundown of some news from that week. This is going to age things a bit. Cat and Emil released for Gears 5. That's only been a little bit of a while ago. You might know something about this. Pre-orders opened up for the 1000 Toys re-edit series Master Chief figure.
Mm-hmm, I saw that, yeah. One of the Facebook groups I'm in. Yeah, they're getting hyped about that. It looks really good. It's the Chief armor that you see in the Infinite trailer. It's pretty cool.
It looked very nice. I do like those big statues. The other thing that came out from this week is the audio team in 343 started to put videos out on the Instagram. They're like doing prep work for Infinite. So it's lots of them out in the field shooting guns and making explosions.
Oh, nice. That would be fun.
Yeah, they were also racing like a dune buggy thing for what I can only assume is new Warthog sounds.
Well, I guess I didn't like the Warthog sound in 4. I don't think I've driven a Warthog in 5 yet for Mission Debrief. But, I mean, that means they go out and re-record all the audio for everything each game.
Probably. It's interesting because they had a mix of, they were doing like explosions in urban built-up environments, but then they were doing explosions in like valleys in the countryside.
Well, can we draw some conclusions there? I feel like that they're telling the story.
There seems to be a mix. Also, when they were doing the Warthog, they seemed to be on a highway in the middle of nowhere. And the dune buggy was going quite fast, and they had multiple like recording points from right on top of it on the road to quite far away in a field as it drove past in like a panning shot. So you'd almost have the impression you might have a Warthog in some sort of large open environment.
Halo Infinite Warthog run confirmed.
With also some urban areas, so...
Love it.
Or some sort of built-up stuff. So it's interesting. Actually, the video that got the most attention from all of this was, I hope I pronounce his name right, Gyoza the Pug?
Gyoza.
So they were recording his grunts and snuffles and general happy sounds as audio for Infinite. So I assume he's going to be some sort of wildlife.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He has a very unique, interesting sound. If you play the video and close your eyes, you wouldn't think it comes from a dog. I know pugs are prone to strange noises.
They are. I had a pug at one point in life. Very cute.
Yes, he's very adorable, but that video definitely did the rounds more than any other, because everywhere I went, I saw about the pug recording sounds for Halo Infinite. The only other thing they need now to like get full viral status would be to use a cat.
Yep.
They can do some with that. So we had all of that. The last thing, they did a mailbag section. It was just a bunch of general sort of questions for 343 from people. So you can go through that, but there wasn't anything, I think, particularly earth-shattering for us. So we'll bounce on. Next up, we had a cannon fodder from the 18th of September, and that was Outpost Discoveries. And that was basically a rundown of... The first part was a series of panel videos that are archived online. So there were a couple from, they had the right stuff where they had the authors. So they had the one from Chicago, good. And they had the one from Anaheim.
Good. I sat in on the author one from Chicago, and they were recording it. I actually asked. I was like, "Are you guys gonna? Is this like published now on whatever Mixer?" But they made it sound like they didn't give me the answer. But so those are out there now.
Those are online. Yep, and you can get the Anaheim one as well. I think the Anaheim one was the one that seemed to have every author that we ever wanted to talk to there as well. So yeah, we can do that. They also have one of the live cannon fodders from Houston. I think it might be in multiple parts, so I'm not sure if something went wrong with it, but they have that as well.
Cool.
So you can go and enjoy that. And then they basically collected all of the lore from Outpost Discovery and put it into one cannon fodder, so you can read through everything.
Oh, cool. So like all of the statues, like the Flood Form, and I think they had like the Index and all that sort of stuff. They all had little plaques where you could read what's going on. Yeah, that's awesome.
So they have a lot of stuff there. You can go through it all. We've mostly covered it over the weeks anyway, so I don't think there's any panic with us going back through that. Next up, Halo Oblivion came out on the 24th of September, because we missed that as well. So like we said, we've been reading that. It's good. Different to Silent Storm, but I think people will enjoy it. Next up, we have Birthday Bulletin, and that was the 26th of September, and Halo 3 turned 12.
Wow. 12. Almost a teenager.
It's scary when you say it like that, because it doesn't feel that long ago to me. I know Combat Evolved feels older, but like it is oldish, but I'd never think of Halo 3 as being older than 10. And I know I should, because we had like 6 months of Halo 3 anniversary complaining.
I mean, I have vivid memories of like certain moments playing Halo 3 and CE, really. I didn't play CE in the moment, but when it came out, I was aware of it. But yeah, it's a long time, man. Oof, 12 years.
Halo 3 was like the first one where I was there for the sort of hype cycle when that came out.
Oh,
so
okay.
That was the one where I kind of jumped in on things, because I picked up 1 and 2 late and then powered through them to get to 3. So good memories. We have there was information from some of the teams that are working on the Reach Xbox Flight. It basically talked about how they're getting ready to test matchmaking and networking across the modes, and that's their focus on the minute, is to make sure that that's going to work.
Man, that's coming. I have a decent computer right now, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I keep seeing people post about it, so I think the invites are out there at the minute.
Have they said if people that own Master Chief Collection on Xbox are just going to get it for free, or do you have to buy it again?
I think you have to buy it. I want to say you get the competitive for free, but you've got to buy the campaign.
Or is it part of Game Pass Ultimate?
I think it'll be on Game Pass, so you'll just get it for free the same as me. But I think otherwise they're going to throw... I think the Reach multiplayer goes free to everyone. And then if you want the campaign, you'll have to drop money on it the same as ODST.
Oh, sure.
And then just if you're on PC, you just got to buy it. And then you'll buy each bit. Piece by piece.
So they're plugging Reach into MCC, so they're going to update MCC.
Yep, they'll update
like
MCC.
It's already 117 gigabytes or something crazy. Or maybe that's Gears 4.
I think Reach is I think Master Chief Collection's almost 100. It's not too far off Halo 5, and I think Halo 5 passed 100.
Yikes.
Yeah, but I'd imagine it'll be fairly chunky, and then most of that update will be the multiplayer suite, so you'll just have that automatically.
Well, they might be getting better at, though, like having you only download the pieces that you're going to play. I think that was talked about at some point. Or maybe that's for like the next consoles. I forget.
I think they talked about it a couple of times, but I don't know if it ever actually... I just have the whole thing installed, but I don't know if it ever actually came to be a thing or not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can never tell if I might play a multiplayer or I might want to play a campaign, so there's no point in me even experimenting with that.
Sure.
There were playlist updates for MCC and Halo 5. I think they're out of date now, so it's pointless even going through them. Signups opened up for Project X Cloud. So if you're in the US or the UK, you could pop your name in the hat, and then if they pick you, you will be invited to a testing.
Is that the streaming service? Like
it
the
is,
Google
yeah.
One?
Okay, I think cool. They've got Halo 5 in it, which is why I mentioned it. They've also got like Sea of Thieves, and it could be Gears 5 and something else. There's maybe it's Killer Instinct or something. I think there's a fighting game.
That would be interesting with a lag for a fighting game. Oof.
Yeah, there's 4 games, I think, in the test anyway, and they've basically said this is a proper test, so don't expect it to be a service anytime soon. I'm curious to see how they get on with that, because it would be something I'd be interested in. I don't think I'd want to play Halo multiplayer, but I'd be open to giving it a go with a few things.
What's the Google one called again? It's called
Stadia?
Yeah. That's crazy that you can just essentially plug a stick into your TV and play video games, like at a like modern video games. I'm super interested to see how that pans out.
Yeah, I'm hoping if they do it for the Xbox, they're going to like roll it into Xbox Live or Game Pass, that you can just stream the stuff you own, because that's about the only way I might use it. The dream is that they would put it on the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
That's my actual dream in life, that they would do that.
You know, you got to set your goals high.
This is true. So we'll see how that goes. By the way, if anyone happened to get into that and they're listening and they want to let us know how Halo 5 streams, give us a shout, because I'd be curious. I don't think I saw anyone in the Discord or the Halo or the Facebook group mention it, so just let us know. There's a Halo 3 4v4 tournament taking place at DreamHack Atlanta, and that's on the 15th to the 17th of November, so still valid. And there's going to be a $50,000 prize pool for it.
Nice.
I think there's still a little time left for qualifiers if anyone was interested. I think they have them at certain competitions and Microsoft Store events, so there's still a chance you can get in with that if you go and read up.
Do you think there's any chance that Halo Infinite can compete with, you know, Apex Legends, Fortnite, like all those top streaming games? Like, is there a chance that they, like, that they would ever be in that same conversation?
I don't know, because I feel like, I know people ask this all the time, but I kind of feel like Halo's time at that was Halo 3, and I feel like it's been sort of diminishing returns ever since then, but like, I don't think that's Halo's fault. I just don't think you can have lightning strike twice like that. Like, they had their moment, but it was before, like, if Halo 3 had have been coming out now with Twitch and Mixer and streaming and all the rest of it, like, Halo 3 would have dominated the world. I think, like, it sold about 13 million copies on the Xbox. And the other thing is, like, you imagine, like, if that game had been multi-platform, like, it probably would have done 20 million, maybe more. It would have been just a mammoth game, but I don't know if they'll ever get that again. But even, like, you look at it now, like, we've had, what, we've gone from PUBG to, I feel like we went to Fortnite, then we went to Apex Legends, and what is Top Dog now?
I think Fortnite's still up there.
They fight out among themselves.
Apex is doing decent.
Apex seems to do really well. I've not tried any of them because I just don't have the time to put into it. I find myself gravitating to PvE modes an awful lot now, so.
Yeah, I mean, those games, it's more like more of a young man's game, right? Like, we're past the time where we can sink 50, 60 hours a week into gaming. You know, like, we just can't do that right now. So, you just have to put in some time, and you got to have the Twitch stuff going on to be able to compete.
Yeah.
I got into a big Apex kick a couple months ago. But just because I have a family and I have kids and I'm exhausted at night when I can finally game, that was the only game that could keep me awake because it's intense. But I'm bad. I'm just bad. But I would just like keep playing.
Aww.
I would keep playing because it kept me awake.
Aww, poor Colin. It's okay. I know your pain because I'm terrible at it. I played something competitive just a while ago that was against other humans, and it was an awful experience. And it was just like, nope, I'm terrible. I'm really rusty at this. I'm a way back to do Warzone or Firefight or something else. And that was that.
I ended up winning a couple matches because, you know, I was solo and my teammates were good. But then as soon as I played with like a buddy, like, we would just suck. Because I need two good people on my team to carry me through.
Yeah, you get a lot of that. I remember once, it's a few years ago now, back when Nate was still doing the show with us.
Oh, yeah.
We were sitting one evening and we were like, oh, come on, we'll play some Reach. It was like, yeah, cool, sure, we'll do that. This was around the time, it was, you know, Halo 4 was still pretty popular. Halo 5 hadn't been announced yet. So we were like, oh, come on, we'll fuck about in Reach for a bit. We went on to Reach. We were massacred. It wasn't even funny. I can't even remember the map we spawned on, but the other team just moved as one solid mass clockwise around the level, and every time we would spawn, it was just a case of, where are they? Run faster. It was woeful. I've never experienced anything as awful in my life. They were just bouncing grenades around corners and taking us out before they ever saw us. It was, ugh. And that was about the last time I ever thought about playing anything.
When Reach hits PC, it could see some streaming prowess.
Oh, I'd imagine it'll be up there for a while. It's convenient that Microsoft have their own streaming service, so it can be on top of Mixer, and I'd imagine Krista will be doing that. Shout-outs to Krista, who's streaming through the Gears games. I think we said earlier, she's on the Gears 5.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go and watch Krista. I occasionally, if I feel like punishing myself, I watch Krista.
I do too. I pop in and say hello, but I don't have I have an hour or two to myself at night, so I can't sit there and watch somebody else play video games. No offense, Krista, that she's listening. That's my time to play video games. So.
All the offense to Krista. Krista knows we love her, really.
Yeah.
All right. We've got one last story here. Well, actually, we have a ball of other stories, but 343 released a 4K version of the poster that came with the Halo 3 Legendary Edition back in 2007. I never knew this existed because I only got the standard edition, but it's like a nice drawn version of Chief and Arbiter in front of the sort of shapes of the space elevator in the background.
Did you make that the Facebook?
I threw it up on the Facebook background because they were good enough to put versions of everything up there. So, but it's a poster nice. I didn't know existed.
Arbiter looks scary.
He does. He's also giant.
He's very big.
He's much bigger than I think he is in the game.
Well, maybe he's jumping.
There's something weird going on there. Perspective, something's off. But we have that. What have we got next? There was a Master Chief Collection development update, and that was the 30th of September. Lots of detailed stuff. We'll not get too into it. They mentioned how the team's focus at the minute is mainly on polish and bug fixing because they don't want this to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
There's a clarification on how maps and modes will be brought into Master Chief Collection, as well as what happens to the stuff that missed the deadline. So basically, if you didn't get your stuff into your file share in time, it's not coming in. And they just go over that again. And then there was a little detail on how the stuff that's in your file share will appear and what you'll need to do. You can have a look through that. There is an infection nameplate available in Master Chief Collection for anyone that plays 10 games of infection between the 1st and the 31st of October.
Nice.
So you can unlock that. Thankfully, it's only complete 10 games. It's not win. So that's always good.
Yeah. Good point.
Postums also spoke with Max Schlager.
Yeah, go with that.
Hope that's how we pronounce it. He's the design director on 343's publishing team, and they talked to him about the armor customization in Reach. There are some screenshots of elite armor as well as Spartans. Now, they said these are works in progress, and there's a chance that not everything you see in the pictures necessarily makes it into the game. But he basically broke down the process they went through to get the armor into, I think it's Unreal Engine. So they talked about how they had to go back and fish out all their old development software so that they could get that stuff out, get it into the new engine, and then work on it from there.
That's cool.
Yep, the only other thing they confirmed is that the team are looking into including all of the armor, including DLC sets. I couldn't remember any armor as DLC, but
I didn't play Reach in the moment, so I'm the wrong guy to ask.
I didn't remember there being much in the way of DLC armor. I know there were a couple of pieces. I wonder, will they include the flaming heads and stuff that Bungie released towards the end?
That'd be rad.
They're the stuff I was thinking of. So you can go and read through all that. It's quite interesting to go through, and the screenshots do look very nice. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that all comes out when it's finished. We have some information on why 343 picked easy anti-cheat for MCC and PC.
Get rid of those cheaters. No thank you.
Yes. Remember back in the good old days when people were lag switching and weird stuff like that?
It's just so annoying.
Oh, thank most things are on a server now. cures all those problems. Host Advantage was the single most annoying thing in my life because I never had Host Advantage, so I always sucked.
Oh, I getcha. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It always made me sad. What do we got? Oh, yes, the only other thing they mentioned is that dual graphics PC setups won't be officially supported by Master Chief Collection. And I think the gist of the explanation was that it didn't need it.
Yeah.
And it ran quite well on a standard card. So when they said officially supported, I don't know if that means they will allow people to unofficially support it. But from the sounds of it, there would be no real benefit to doing it.
Yeah, right. They're only going to provide art assets to a certain fidelity.
After that, there's no real point. So the only other thing we had after that at the time of recording was a Halo Community Spotlight, and that was the 3rd of October. And it's all the usual cool artwork, screenshots, and everything else, but I want to just shout out, there was an flood-infected ODST cosplay that was really nice.
Ooh, I gotta see that.
It's very cool. The helmet and body armor's like busted out into the side, and they have flood, bulgy, gangly bits and all. Don't get enough. I love all the Spartan armor, but I always love the unusual stuff. I know from Outpost Discovery, I've seen a few elites doing the rounds, and I remember a couple of years ago they had the guy. Remember the guy and his son, where he went as the hunter and the son went as a Spartan, so they look like a two-scale set.
Yeah, I think I do remember that.
It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen, but I always love the alien cosplay when people manage it.
I love how this spotlight has so much stuff, and Halo's dormant right now. I mean, we're still doing stuff, but like, oh man, it's so good to see.
You can tell things are starting to, I think things are starting to waken up a bit, because I know we've noticed, even like we talked to Ian sort of monthly about listener numbers and the rest of it, and the graph is slowly climbing, and that was like the same for Halo in the run-up to Halo 5. Mm-hmm. Things were quiet after Halo 4, you know, that you get into that lull once the novelty of the game wears off, and then it trickles down to like standard numbers, and then it starts to creep back up until everything's kind of giant and people are like feverish for any scrap of info. And we're starting that like climb now, which is cool.
Yeah, the turn of the year is going to be wild. I see the infection form, the ODST, it's nuts.
It's really cool. Anything unusual like that, I love, like, people have got spectacularly good at making Spartan armor, so they're moving on to other challenges now, like the elite stuff, and then flood infected and things like that. Next up, I want someone to do Stolt the Super Grunt, because he has long arms, he has good legs, someone can do a good Stolt out there.
Yeah, someone can.
And I want that next. But I think, okay, that is all of our news from the last couple of weeks. We are now officially up to date again.
We did it.
Yep, we can wait another month until our next episode. Thank you very much. All right, we are going to take a quick break for 1 second, and when we get back, we have a special lore section for you all.
Very special. Welcome back. We are going to cover some, this is our lore section, and we, you know, Aaron and I have a very special place in our heart for Sarah Palmer.
Yes, we do.
So we figured she deserved a little bit of a highlight, since this is the first time that he and I have been on the show together alone. Buckle up for some Sarah Palmer lore.
Yeah, I feel like Palmer's, I feel like her reputation was degraded somewhat during Mission Debrief. There was a certain someone who was very negative about her. And I found myself listening to some of your episodes and shouting at my headphones.
Is that certain someone from Ireland?
He might be, and I might have told him he's wrong quite often, but I'm going to say again, he's wrong.
I had to bite my lip a little bit. I need to let him air his grievances. But it's just that one line. If she didn't have that one line.
No, there will be none of that here. We will be positive. Although I do think it's funny that I was listening to you guys go through Spartan Ops, and he becomes warmer to Palmer as Spartan Ops goes on. I was going like, this is interesting.
Yeah. He says, I think at one point he says that she's a badass or awesome or something like that. So we got to clip that.
I'll put that in the file next to Krista's various quotes.
So yeah, she it's October as a recording, and she does some cool stuff in October, right?
She did. Now, we have no date for this, so we just have a year. So it's 2552 and it's October. And this is Corporal Palmer.
Pre-Spartan.
Yes. She rescues Admiral Kovalik.
Yep.
Gonna go with that. And a UNSC AI from Covenant Attack. And this comes from Halo Initiation, page 24. And if you're trying to recall what Halo Initiation is, that is the comic series that came out. I don't think there were too many issues, were there? There's only
there's
a couple.
There's just three. Yeah, it's like a mini-series on her.
Yeah, they were like a run-up in, what would that be, before Halo 4?
I'm not sure if they dropped before Halo 4 or not, but it was right around that time. So, they were introducing her character, how she became... So she was an ODST to start, and it talks about how she became an ODST, and then... a Spartan. And then how she actually defended the UNSC Infinity from a, an attack.
Yeah.
By one of the original Spartan Four. I think her name is Ilsa Kane.
Yes, and then I love in that they introduced the concept of rogue Spartan Fours.
Yeah.
Because they went on to do good things with that. Also, shout out to the only situation where June decided, no, I'm retired and won't put any armor on. I was like, fuck you, yeah. June. The ship's under attack. You will put some armor on. You will defend it.
The occurrence that you were talking about, though, the before she became a Spartan, there's a really cool scene where she hucks a grenade. Like it's her and this guy that she's trying to save against a brute, and there's a warthog on its side right behind them, and she like flicks open a grenade or pops it open, throws it behind her, and she's like, okay, we got to run towards the brute. And so they run towards the brute, away from the grenade. The grenade flips the warthog back onto its wheels. And so then, when it's on its wheels, they hop into the warthog and then run over the brute. It's really good.
I suppose when you're not a Spartan, that's the only way you're flipping the warthog.
Well, exactly. You can't just flip it over with your brute strength because you're not there yet.
They do a good job of Palmer. Spoilers, we're going to talk a lot about Palmer now. When I was going through Palmer stuff, there's a lot more material on her than I remembered.
There's a lot. She's in Halo 4, Halo Spartan Ops, Halo 5. She's the commander. She's like the voice in Warzone for Halo 5. She's in Spartan Assault, that twin stick shooter. She's in Initiation. She's in Escalation. She's mentioned in New Blood and in Bad Blood. She's been around.
Yeah, she has like a chapter in New Blood, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm forgetting that chapter, but I know she's featured specifically in it.
Yeah, there's like a mission that Buck's on where he saves her.
Okay.
Her team's doing like a second half of a mission and Buck's doing the other half, and then Buck finds out that Palmer's team was being used as a distraction and they're not going to be rescued, so Buck goes and rescues them himself, except that Palmer's the only one that survives. I'd completely forgotten about it, but it's a thing in that book. Right, so yeah, we're going to talk about Palmer. I have a little information. There's a little quick rundown here on Palmer.
Yeah.
We go through that. So we've got Sarah Palmer. She was born on Luna, 2527. Fun fact, Sarah Palmer was born to anti-colonial parents, but they died when she was young, so she's actually adopted. Oh. And her adoptive father was actually pro-UNSC, and he's the reason she's in the military.
She mentions her dad in Initiation.
I assume that's adoptive dad.
So Luna is the moon, right?
Luna is the moon. That's their moon color.
So she's born on the moon. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think a lot of cool people seem to come from the moon. Well, the wizard came from the moon.
That's right.
I was actually going to say Keys. I don't know if Keys and Miranda were born on the moon, but I know they lived on the moon. I remember that being a part. They lived on Luna.
Do you think we'll live on the moon in our lifetime?
Maybe not in ours. Maybe your children's children.
Okay.
I don't think we'll be... We might be. I'd like to hope we would.
I think we need to.
I'd like to live long enough to see the beginnings of our expanse-like future.
I like it.
Maybe not the interstellar war part, but the rest of it. We go for that part. What do they call it? They mentioned it a couple of times in Halo, the like rainforest wars or something.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar.
It's something... They dropped the name a couple of times. I think there's like a book or a story or a poem or something that's mentioned in, I think it might be Contact Harvest or something. It's mentioned back then, but they call it the Rainforest Wars. It's like the pre-colonizing human, the last great war in the solar system. There's something to it.
Is it like we burn through all our fossil fuels and we get a...
It sounds a lot like that, yeah. There was interplanetary war and there's this war for resources and stuff. So it sounds cool.
Mm-hmm.
Need a wee book about nice. That. All right, so what we got here? So, right, Palmer was born on Luna. Once she was old enough to enlist, she joined the ODSTs. She took part in 12 tours of duty during the war. After, she was one of the first people approached to join the Spartan 4 program by June.
Mm-hmm.
She was the first class of Spartan 4s. She was involved in several operations, and she rose to the rank of commander and would eventually take command of the Spartan division aboard Infinity. During her time then, she led a couple of operations of note that we've got. So there's Operation Athena, and that is Halo Escalation, in case you're wondering. That was the battle for the Genesis Key and the Absolute Record.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that.
The tail end of Escalation.
Yes, that would have been Spartan Ops Season 2 if we ever got it.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been cool. She also took part in the Battle of Sunion, which is Halo 5, where she supported Locke and Fireteam Osiris when they were trying to track down Blue Team and figure out what was going on with the Guardians.
She's like the pilot.
She is.
She's the Pelican pilot. She keeps that Pelican from getting... Well, it does get downed at one point.
I think it does. And yeah, they kind of play with you in the... Did Palmer get taken out? Not to go into spoilers for Mission Debrief, but like she drops them off at a Guardian and you don't know if Palmer made it or not till later in the game.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's like a data drop, I think, somewhere in one, like a loot crate, maybe, where they talk about it.
Oh, there could be. It's been a while. I forgot those were a thing because they got very boring. So, yeah, we want to talk about Palmer because we quite like Palmer.
Well, she's gotten a bad rap, I feel like. And, I mentioned it earlier. It's the one quote that got everybody a little rustled up. And I feel like that quote is misconstrued, mistranslated to the intent.
I'm always surprised that people found it, like, people jump to her being extra disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little, I don't know, I never took it as disrespectful. I took it as, like, playful sort of banter. And I know people sort of go, like, you can't have playful banter with Master Chief. And you're going, like, but, like, she's as close to a Spartan 2 as a human now is ever going to get. She's made it to the rank of Spartan 4 and...
Well, she's the commander of the Spartans.
Yeah, and part of the Spartan training and the way June and... who is the gentleman that runs the Spartan 4 branch?
Musa.
Musa. Part of the running of it is that you are a Spartan and you deserve that, and there's no more... Like, the Spartan 3s that were left roll into the Spartan 4 program. There's a couple of Spartan 2s as well still on the go. Like, they're just Spartans now, so I just kind of took it like kind of playful banter. Like, she's not really into hero worship, but at the same time, I feel like she's sort of respectful to him. Like, it's not a disrespectful, oh, look how short you are. It's just like a sort of, I thought you'd be bigger given your legend.
Yes, that's how I tried to explain it in Mission Debrief when we covered it. So, yeah, I thought it was totally playful. It's kind of... The military speak, I mean, and I think the issue that people have is there's no rapport there. Like, she's just met Chief. And instead of taking more of the Lasky approach where, you know, hey, you know, great to see you, buddy. You know, thanks for saving me when I was a teen. Happy to dust you off and have you a part of the mission. she's different, you know. That's part of the personality they've written for her. So I think it's you know, again, I think it's an appropriate quote. I think it's fine. And then I think people the problem I think that people have just played the games and maybe they didn't play Spartan Ops, where she's heavily featured and she does have a big part, and you do see in that game, you know, how good she can be. And then a lot of the other sources that I gave are not in video games, or, like, you know, it's the Twin Six shooter that a lot of people are exposed to. They don't necessarily see her full breadth of work. But then when you pull up her Halopedia page, like, it's as long as any other main characters. I mean, obviously not Chief.
Oh, like, yeah, as a Halo character goes, like, she's up there with, she has a good, like, short of maybe Johnson, she's got a good long resume here.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. The thing I always thought was, like, I think Lasky has a slightly more sort of hero worship sort of tone to him, because, like, fair enough, he's met this larger than life legend, but it's a little harder to feel, I think, that someone's larger than life when you're standing there in your own Spartan armor.
Sure.
You have a different perspective on things. Like, I'm sure Palmer respects him, and I think she acknowledges it, but I don't know. I think people took it too far. And I also imagine Master Chief's feelings weren't hurt in the slightest.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. He didn't care.
No, he's quite all right.
I've likened just, you know, playing sports and growing up kind of in that culture and still following it today. It's like you see these professional athletes have, like, a level of arrogance to them. And, you know, it usually reaches a height, you know, kind of where in their prime, and then they kind of tone down and come back to earth as they get a little bit older, and then they, you know, whatever they do afterwards. But you have to have that edge if you want to be or feel like you are the best at what you do. I'm not saying you don't have to, or you can't respect other people, but, like, her attitude, the way, like, when she addresses everybody in Spartan Ops, it's like, okay, guys, like, or no, wait, yeah, it is Spartan Ops. She addresses all of the Spartans, and she has this level of confidence about her. That's earned partially through her, you know, military background and becoming one of the first Spartans. But that's also just kind of the edge that she has. But I would want that edge, right? Like, I want that edge out of one of my, you know, leaders of the Spartans, right? Like, I would want that person to be confident and to be able to just have that have a level of, I don't know. I mean, it's maybe a little cocky, it's just confidence, right?
You see, the thing is, I know, okay, Chief and Johnson know each other, but if that line came out of Johnson's mouth the first time he'd met Chief, you know, you wouldn't think twice about it. I know they're, now they've established that they're long-term friends and all the rest of it, but, like, that level of sort of, like, cocky attitude from Buck or Johnson, I think people sort of accept it a bit. Just like you said, it's her first introduction, but at the same time, you never imagine her, like, sort of getting fangirlish over someone. So, like, I kind of get it. Like, there's also, like, in all the other groups and military people and all the rest, there is, like, a level of banter and back and forth, and with the exception of maybe Osiris and Blue Team in Halo 5, but then again, half of Osiris aren't, like, dedicated to military, and Spartan 2's until recently in Silent Storm and Oblivion had a lot less banter going on than they used to.
Right.
I feel like they don't as much, although Fred is clearly the king of all Spartan 2 banter.
Yeah, he's a little chatty.
Yeah, he's the force for all that, but it's definitely not Master Chief. Like, if it had been anyone else, if she had have said that to Fred, I'm sure Fred would have a witty retort.
What do you think about her dual-wielding pistols? Like, that's her default. That's her... the Mega Bloks character of her has her with her two pistols, right? And then when you get a action figure, she's got two pistols. What do you think about that versus where, you know, Chief is, like, the classic AR?
It's interesting. I suppose if you're going to, like, take over the galaxy and kill the enemy, you would dual-wield Combat Evolved pistols and just mop up everyone, because that's an unstoppable force.
Yeah.
My biggest complaint with Palmer isn't the pistols. It's the fact she always seems to have her helmet off. I don't know why it seems to be a 3-4-3 thing, like through most of Halo 5 and everything else, and basically from Spartan Ops, they never put her helmet on as if they're afraid you're going to forget who she is. She's always in armor with no helmet, and it's a little strange. Even in Halo 5, she's flying that Pelican, she's about to get Osiris onto the Guardian.
She has her helmet off.
She's got no helmet, and her face is scuffed up and scratched and bruised, and you're like, why aren't you wearing your helmet? Always seem to do it with her, like there's no one else.
That's a good point.
It's a peculiar thing I've noticed with 343 is they just never put her helmet on.
It's to build the character a little bit, right? Because it's hard. I mean, Chief has this aura about him, but like we've never seen his face. And that's one of the points of contention with the TV show that's coming up is, you know, they have this actor. They're probably going to show his face, but we've never seen Chief's face. But you need that to help, you know, draw that connection with the character. So I think it's, you know, it's like a writing device.
I don't know, but she has a very unique helmet and armor. Like, they do a good job they did a good job with, I know it wasn't 343, but, like, Noble Team are very recognizable to their armor, even though you see most of their faces. It's actually, it's a little bit weird to see them without their armor, without their helmets on.
That's a good point.
Palmer has a very recognizable suit of armor. I feel like you see it and you go, oh, that's Palmer. But they just never put her with that helmet on. I don't know, it's a weird one.
Yeah, she has it on a little bit in Spartan Ops, but I don't know if she has it on in Halo 5 at all. Maybe just a little bit here and there, but yeah, it's mostly helmet off. That's interesting. I'm not a biggest fan of that armor. I'm forgetting the type. I think it's maybe...
Scout or something, isn't it?
Scout, yeah. Yeah, not the biggest fan of that look, but yeah, it would make sense for her to have that on more often than not. For sure.
And also, I feel like they need to do more with her because you put Jennifer Hale in Halo, you need to do more with her because she's such a fantastic voice actor. Like, you go and play Mass Effect as Femship and she's fantastic. I actually think I only played it. I came to Mass Effect, kind of like Halo, I came to it after the second one was out and played back through them. And that was the first thing anyone ever told me was, do yourself a favor, pick female Shep, play as that, and you won't regret it. And I don't think I ever have, but I think like you use her. I know they try, because like they've tried with Palmer and they tried with Locke, but now that they have Palmer, they need to like not sideline her as much.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So we're not going to go through like all of her, you know, we mentioned a couple of her, I guess, military successes or whatnot. And if you go to her Halopedia page and see kind of her big long sheet of what she's been up to and what she's done and why she's the commander. But it'll be interesting to see, to your point, like where they take her in Infinite. And is she going to be featured? Is she going to be like a side character? Is she going to be like just a side mission person? Or is she going to be, you know, Halo 4, she was featured more than in Halo 5, mainly because of Spartan Ops. But meanwhile, she's the commander of the Spartans, and it's been a couple years since they picked up Chief in Infinite. Like, what do you think, they would write her out of that role? Or is she going to continue to be the commander of the Spartans in Infinite?
It's interesting. I don't know. I get the feeling we're not going to have a lot of the Infinity in Infinite, and that's why she won't be there. It seems like they're kind of aiming that direction. Because I also get the feeling we're going to have a reason why Blue Team aren't going to be there, which I worry about. Because, I don't know, they need a few more people about. I would like to see more Palmer. I would like to see her about, even if she was just a character that came along with you on certain missions. Like, if they're going for what we think might be a slightly more open feel Halo, if you had, like, hubs where you could go off and do missions, I wouldn't mind going and doing Palmer missions with Palmer.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of where my head's at right now with Infinite, and we'll see what happens, but it's always fun to speculate. They picked up Chief in that trailer in, what year is it? It's a couple years in advance, right? From Halo 5 and Halo Wars.
Yeah, that's, I think, we don't know exactly, but 3 or 4 years later, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So in my mind, like, that's a big gap. And from what Cortana was kind of setting herself up to, and then a couple years passed, that's a long time. And she's got these guardians. Stuff happens. So I feel like they've set us up with this trailer and this supposedly this beginning of the game. My hope is, we'll see what happens, that we get to go back and fill in the blanks. And maybe, you know, part of the open world is we get to go back and play as Palmer or blue team members, you know, Chief, obviously. But that's kind of built into the way that the campaign is structured. And then maybe we, you know, so part of, you know, like in movies, sometimes they'll do like a big flashback at some point. So I think there'll be a big flashback portion of Halo Infinite where we can go back and fill in those blanks, because there's just too much interesting things that I want to experience between Cortana with all the Guardians and a Halo to whenever they pick up Chief.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I think me and David used the phrase before, and I really hope they could do something with it, but I kind of want Battlestar Infinity. Like, I want that sort of story. If the Infinity's on the run and they're bouncing about the galaxy with the Guardians, I'd love something with that. I don't know if we'll get it in Infinite or it will be material beforehand. Even, like I said, if a certain audio drama type were to be brought back for Infinite, I would totally go for reports and action logs of the Infinity in the few years in between. But
yeah,
I don't know. Overall, I don't think we're going to be swayed that we don't like Palmer, are we?
Oh, no. I think she's a strong character. Again, you know, I think people's critiques aren't as warranted as what, you know, I think they're ignoring a lot of what she's done in the extended lore and more focusing on a couple of bits of pieces that they've seen in the games. You know, I guess what we're trying to say is give her a chance, like look into her, give her some research, some of the stuff, play things that aren't just Halo 4, and then, you know, reconsider, because she is one of the strongest characters that they have right now. And she's, I think that she can definitely help bring Halo forward and take a little bit of the focus off of Chief. You know, we know they're going to focus on Chief and Infinite, but the 343 has struggled to bring that other character or two or three forward. You know, she's one of the best bets in terms of like how much lore has been sunk into her. So give her a chance. I think that I'm hoping that they'll give her more of a spotlight or do her character, who she is, a little bit more justice in the future.
Yeah, I think given the talent that Jennifer Hale has, she could do great things with the character if she gets another chance. Like, she could be like a Buck level character. Like,
yeah.
I don't think she'll ever be like a Sergeant Johnson sidekicky type, but there's no reason she couldn't be like another good sort of Buck character. Like, if you were going to do a side game, I could easily see you doing Palmer as the lead and having something interesting there. So I think she just, I don't know if we'll ever get that chance. I don't know if sentiment's kind of against the character now, but I would love to see her get another go, because I think 343 have mistreated the character a few times here and there. Some of her, not get into it, but some of her escalation stuff, she has a few like peculiar mood swings here and there, which seem a bit out of character.
Well, the other thing that Krista brought up in one of the mission debrief, when we're doing a little analysis, where like she missed the shot in Spartan Ops for it to kill Halsey, and then in escalations, there's another moment in there. But like, you can't kill Halsey. How are you going to kill Halsey? That's not even an option. So if Sarah was tasked with taking out Osman's essentially assassination orders, she was going to miss.
Oh yeah, you had no choice. You're not going to kill Halsey like that. Halsey has to die in Master Chief's arms.
Something like that. Yeah, exactly.
There's no way around it.
All right. That's a good length show. I'm looking at this timer.
We've given Palmer some good love. Well, look, it's your first time on the show. You need to like get it all over your system.
Well, that means I'm not going to be invited back.
Oh no, you can come back. We'll let you come back. We let Chris to come back. We'll let you come back.
She's been, yeah, you guys have been at this for a while, huh?
Just a little bit. I try not to look back and think about it. It's terrifying.
All right. Well, so do I close the show now, or do you want to talk about anything else?
No, I think we're pretty good.
I have my own exit or my own outro, so I'll just try to read this as naturally as possible. Thank you for joining us, Podcast Evolve. Please visit our website, Halo Podcast Evolve. We also have Halo Podcast. Watch out for that. Our SEO is off the charts. Check that for the latest episodes, Halo release schedules, links to our Discord, Facebook, Xbox Live community. That website has everything. Just go there, get lost, warm up a coffee, re-warm up your coffee, and then we'll talk to you when you're done with that. We have book clubs coming out. We're going to do Oblivion soon, right?
I believe it might be this weekend if we're ready to roll.
Nice. I'm going to have to save that one because it's going to be a bit before I get through that. Mission Debrief, we're in the midst of Halo 5, so join us for that. Are we doing game nights?
I think the guys on the Discord have been trying to sort of get it going a couple of times, but it's just hard to get traction to. It's kind of herding cats is the problem. To get enough people together for a game night's always hard, although they will find it significantly easier now as the Halo hype ramps up.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we're trying to partner with other podcasts too. That's kind of one of our efforts, is to kind of get this little Halo love umbrella going on. So we've been partnering with some of the other, what's the one, ProTalk, I think. They do some game nights. So we've been talking with them about that sort of stuff. So if you want to play some Halo, let us know and we'll plug you into the right communities that are active. And then Krista is active on Twitch. I know that. Or Mixer, excuse me. She's active on Mixer. So check out that. Or we have YouTube. All our stuff is on YouTube these days. I think we're talking about getting Mission Debrief over there. So we're all over the place. Check us out. I'm your host, Colin Perkins. And my gamer tag is Brokebox. If you ever want to look me up, and you can friend me and we can play some Halo together. Aaron, you are Perpetual Big AC.
That is me, yep.
Awesome. Sounds good. This has been fun. Thanks for the invite.
It's been nice having you. We'll have you again.
Sounds good. All right. In the meantime, you can hear my voice on Mission Debrief. And Aaron's back on this show next week.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
All right. Until next time, evolved.
Evolved.